Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, as you know, if you're listening, we've dedicated this whole month to the theme of forgiveness. One, because it's biblical, and two, it's essential to our spiritual health. If you walk around with an accumulated sense of pile of grudges and offenses in your heart, it will affect you in your health, emotionally, mentally, physically, most importantly, spiritually. And if you spend more time looking at the faults of others than you do time taking inventory of your own soul, the honest, hard truth is you'll never mature. But God wants you to walk in ever-increasing levels of humility, of strength, of identity, of assurance, of your security in Him. And you have an important calling on your life. And whether or not you forgive directly impacts your influence. In his brilliant book, Total Forgiveness, R.T. Kendall writes this. When Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, he was not talking about how to achieve salvation. He was referring to receiving the anointing of God and participating in an intimate relationship with the Father. Unless we're in a state of forgiveness towards others, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. That's why we have such a really emphasis this month and especially this week on forgiveness. We want you free. We want you free, but we also want you walking in the fullness of your calling, in the greatest anointing that you've ever experienced, where you are blessing your offenders and you're watching God intervene in your story. Can somebody give me an amen? We're already getting a good start. Well, my friend, counselor, spiritual director, Pamela Nelson joins me again today. We're going to talk about next steps in forgiveness. You know, what do you do when you feel like you've forgiven, but the offense keeps landing in your lap or the offender keeps offending? How do you walk out your freedom? How do you sustain it? Before I introduce her, just a question for you. And I was asking you to get raw and honest because I'm raw and honest. Not everybody's going to want to answer these two questions, but every answer that comes in will be anonymous today. I'm not going to mention any names. But the first one is, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? You don't name names, just what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? You can text me, 877-933-2484. Now, the second one is, who do you need to forgive? And I don't want names again, but maybe you say spouse or daughter or son or friend or coworker or employer or neighbor, and whatever you want to tell me about what you need to forgive. So what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Now, another quick announcement. If you need some help in this process, you can text the word forgive to our number, 877-933-2484, and you'll get texts over the next several days of encouragement just to help you walk this out. But what that tells me is you are committed to your walk of faith. You're committed to your walk with the Lord. You want to walk free, and you don't want to be in a triangulating relationship with the enemy. And that's what happens when you are continually accusing your offender and you're refusing to forgive them. You're inviting the enemy in to that relationship and giving the enemy and your offender more power than they deserve. They don't deserve any, right? Take them out of the equation and forgive. And that's what we're talking about today. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Pamela Nelson is an ordained pastor, experienced biblical counselor, and spiritual director who's been supporting people on their healing journey as well as mentoring and coaching individuals for the last 30 years. Along with her consulting counseling practice, Pamela also serves as a director of soul care for Advanced Hope Ministries, a soul care specialist with Aligned Strength-Based Leadership, and is a senior spiritual director with Soul Shepherding. Pamela's two grown sons are both married, and she's a proud grandma of six children. Pamela, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It is so wonderful to be with you, especially with this topic, because Suzy, I would say underlying everything of people who come to see me, there are two issues. One is identity, and the other is forgiveness or unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge, important, freeing topic today, Suzy.
It is. In fact, the fact that you say that, we'll get to this in a minute. We're going to get to your opening question in a moment, but just so I don't forget, let's circle back to identity, because I think our capacity to forgive is directly connected with our sense of identity. If we really, really knew what we possess in Christ, if we really, really knew how beloved we are in the heart of God, it would be, and how much we've been forgiven, even the hardest offenses, we would be able to forgive. And so we'll get, let's get to that in a moment, but help me remember to circle back to that. But here you go. You know this, you've been on plenty of times. Let's start with this. What has God just been impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, well, I love that quote that you also gave, because the verse that God had on my heart for today is 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. In the Message, and the title for the Message says, "Don't put it off. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust." So these verses, Susie, in 3 and 4, it's really saying that everything we need, a life of pleasing God and a life of living into his promises, comes when we know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, which is Jesus. He came to redeem us so that we could know the Father. And at the end of that verse, it says we participate in that life when we turn our back on this world that is corrupted by sin, corrupted by the things, the Message version uses the word lust. It entices us to choose something that is not what God's best is for us, but his best is this life, this pleasing life, this freeing life where we know him intimately and personally.
That's so beautiful. I'm going to read some of the, I love our listeners that they're just, they jump in like I jump in. Like, okay, let's get honest. Let's get real because I want to be free. This dear one said, "Need to forgive cheating ex, hardest thing I've ever done." And another one texted in infidelity. So you've got two people just chiming in now, and I'm sure they speak for many. And I know you've dealt with that with clients. What can you say to these two and others who maybe haven't texted, but would say that's their answer as well?
Yeah, thank you so much for your bravery and putting that out there. And I just want to say that even in naming that, that is one of the most important things that we do, is we cannot forgive or we cannot be healed from what we will not name. And when we name it and bring it out into the light, then through the process, and I want to say that forgiveness is both a decision and a process. So we are commanded to forgive. We are commanded to release the penalty to be put in God's hands because of what we have been forgiven. We are commanded in Colossians 3:12, we are invited to bear with each other. Forgive with one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. But in these cases, then, when we choose to, as Lisa Turker says in her book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, choose to forgive by the facts. So the facts are that these very real, very hurtful things happened. But then the process is like an onion, and we've said it several times here on the show, that then I realize that this thing has had an impact on me. And so in such cases where there is wounding and even abusive hurt on my heart, I have to then walk out what is healthy. I have to have this rebuilding of trust. I don't immediately then say I've forgiven. And so that means that it's all released. It's all forgotten. No, we need to be wise. And we need to then set boundaries in place and walk out so that trust and potential repair can be rebuilt. But it also depends on the other person, Susie. And I know we're going to get into this. There needs to be a repentance also from the other who has wounded you.
So there needs to be repentance for trust to be rebuilt. But some would argue there needs to be repentance for us to forgive. I would disagree with that. I think our process is between us and the Lord as far as what we are dealing with our hearts. I guess I would love to know your thoughts on that.
Absolutely, Susie. We are commanded to forgive whether we are able to communicate with that person. You know, sometimes that involves going way back into our history, Susie, and we have to choose then to release and forgive those who wounded us very early in our childhood. So whether that person ever comes to us and seeks that forgiveness, that is not the case. We then can choose to still forgive because we have been forgiven much. And what that does is then it goes back into that verse in 2 Peter. It allows us to have that closeness and that intimacy with the Lord because we have released the judgment on what has happened, that debt that is talked about in Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We give that debt over to the Lord. Because we have been forgiven much. And so we do that whether the person seeks it or not. But reconciliation is another thing altogether, Susie.
Exactly. And we'll talk reconciliation in just a bit. I want to read a couple more of these before we go to break. Physical abuse in past by husband, and now no more physical abuse for several years, but verbal abuse of name calling. I'm too old for this, and I regret that I stayed 45 years. I feel I've forgiven, but the memories remain, and recently something that brought up so many past toxic situations. I have trouble forgiving myself the most for staying, as I believe our toxic relationship hurt my sons. I want to just pause here with this one and have you minister to that person, because that I really am praying that the Lord minister starts ministering healing balm to you even today. Actually, we have to go to break, Pam, but I want you to address this one, and let's pray for this dear one, because and I pray, friend, that this is the beginning of maybe you can seek out a counselor or spiritual director and walk this out. The Lord wants you to forgive yourself. The Lord wants you to be free, and he wants to heal all of those memories, and he wants to affirm to you that your ex-husband's heart does not at all mirror God's heart for you. We need to take a break. When we come back, Pamela, I'd love for you to address that. And there's a number of others that have come in. Rejection, somebody just abandoned by their husband and feeling like they have to continually forgive because he just walked away. These are serious offenses. And so this is why we're not making light of forgiveness. It's something that is, you know, this pathway is soaked with the blood of our Savior. He died to forgive us. He died to set us free. This is not an easy proposition, but by the power of the risen Christ within us, it's possible. More with Pamela Nelson in a moment.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Pamela Nelson. She's a spiritual director and a counselor. We get her on every once in a while, and we thought this is really an important week to have her on, since all month we've been focusing on forgiveness, and even this week we have a day of forgiveness. So leading up to that, we want to cover this and give you as many opportunities as possible to find some healing and wholeness, because we understand this is not a light topic. It's not an easy one. One of the things I've asked of you, if you're so willing, is to text me. Every text that comes in will be considered anonymous, but one is, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? And two is, who do you need to forgive? Totally separate question. We don't need names, but I'm saying maybe it's a spouse or an ex-spouse or an adult child or a coworker or a neighbor, a parent. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. I just want, as I'm reading these texts, others who maybe don't have the, you know, don't feel ready to text in, that they could know that they're not alone. 877-933-2484. And I want to spend a few moments ministering to this dear one. They said physical abuse in the past by husband. And now no more physical abuse for several years, but verbal abuse of name calling. I'm too old for this. I regret that I stayed 45 years. I feel that I have forgiven, but the memories remain. Recently, something occurred that brought up so many past toxic situations. I have trouble forgiving myself for the most, for staying, as I believe that this toxic relationship hurt my sons. I wish I could wrap my arms around you. I wish so much I could wrap my arms around you and just pray for you, but Pamela, if this dear one were in your office, what would you say to her?
I would I would say, can I have permission, please, to wrap my arms around you? Because in that space that God gave you the grace to stay, I just want to say that he is covering you now and watching you now with his love. What you experienced was traumatic. And you said that you did walk through some layers of forgiveness, but those memories are starting to come up. And you're blaming yourself for the effect that it had on your sons. And I just want to say to you, please, the things that you had to do to survive the trauma that you experienced, to be able to live within it, and then the courage that it took to be able to walk free and healthy, that takes an incredible strength that comes from God himself. Mm-hmm. And so in those spaces where you said, I don't know how to forgive myself, it's really a receiving of the trusting that God is going to use all of this to be able to let you know his grace and his love and his healing power, because now you are naming it. And so, dear one, I just want to say to you, please receive that you can trust in him with all of your heart, even in this situation now, and trust what he is doing in your children's lives, even though this was their experience. This was not your fault. This was the abuse that came from a person who was hurting, who never dealt with their own hurt. And you've heard it said before that hurt people do hurt people. Sometimes it becomes more scary to leave than to actually stay in that space, but God gave you the courage. And so I champion you. And I just want to pray for her. Is that okay, Susie?
Please, yes. And let me say before you pray that as Melissa Coleman, our friend who comes on, our lawyer friend who talks about mercy trials and forgiveness, is that hurt people, but healed people, heal people. And I want you to get a vision for what healing might look like and the people God may use for you to reach and to help as you get your healing. But Pamela, why don't you go ahead?
Yes, dear daughter of the King of Kings, your worth is in your identity as a daughter of his, and he calls you his beloved child. He is calling you forth into this healing that was just named. And so we continue to seek that with you, to champion with you, to be able to follow through on what that healing process is. And so I just ask, Lord God, that you would minister to your daughter right where she is right now. May the peace that passes understanding guard her heart and guard her mind. May she not believe the lies of the enemy that this had anything to do with her, and that the decision to stay is going to be detrimental to herself or to her kids. But Father God, I do believe that this healing that she is entering into in this stage of her story will also be a part of her children's healing, but that their journey for that is theirs. They have to choose it for themselves. And so, Lord, in that forgiveness work that they go on, that journey that they recognize that you were even there in the home at that time, protecting them, loving them, seeking healing for them. May they also come to know you as their personal deliverer as well. We just declare all these things in the name of the mighty, compassionate, loving Savior that we have, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Pamela, I'm going to read a number of these and just have you speak to who you want to speak to, but we're going to pray for all of you. This one says, okay, I'm going to be completely honest. Hardest thing in person I've ever had to forgive is myself for having an abortion when I was 20 years old. Never truly felt worthy of forgiveness. I was selfish and stupid. We have to stop right there. I want to just cry. These dear people being so honest. And well, I wish I could see each of you face to face and hug you, and you could sense the Father's love for you. And Pamela, again, I know you've helped clients who've walked through that.
Yes,
would you speak to her?
Yes. And so I want to say the Lord is so full of compassion and kindness and gentleness. And it's kindness that leads us to be able to repent and to say, Lord God, either knowing or not knowing, I made a selfish decision and you're naming that. I just want to say again, thank you, daughter of the King of Kings. But as it says in Psalm 51, verse 10, this is what David prayed. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I just want to bless you with this word create, because what the Lord wants to do is in that word create, it's only used two times in scripture. One, when he created the heavens and the earth, and then the other, when he gives you, daughter, a new heart, and then renews a right spirit within you, which is his spirit of kindness and compassion and love. As you bring this forward to him, may you be washed in that Genesis cleansing of your heart, even from the decisions that you've made. So then your mind and your heart and your soul and your spirit can be totally renewed in a Genesis way. He is doing a new thing in you. May you receive it from him today.
Amen. Mr. Juan says, hardest thing to forgive, ex-husband cheating and lying. He then abandoned her after 2 years to rebuild their marriage. He ruined her kids' lives and her life in many ways. He denies cheating, yet married one of the women. May God open his eyes, and may God heal your heart. Any thoughts or advice you want to offer there?
Betrayal and rejection, it is a trauma. And I just want to come alongside you and say, This is not God's design for marriage, and it certainly isn't his heart toward you. And how somebody goes off and betrays you in that way does not reflect on who you are, but on who they are. And so I pray, daughter, that you would begin to trust yourself in your decisions, that you are lovely, that you are beloved, that you are lovable. And the decision that someone else made, which greatly affects you and your family, that the Lord is a just God and he sees that. That he holds your tears in a bottle, and that you need to know he will be fighting for you. But in this place, you need to go and process through these feelings of being abandoned, of being betrayed, of working through what happened within you where you don't trust your own decision-making process. It's so important to, again, recognize that where you were gaslit, where you were lied to, that you did notice these things, that these things did rise up in you, and to empower you to be able to say that, God, that is never God's plan, and I'm so sorry that you are hurting. But God comes right into that place of betrayal. He understood it. On the night that he was betrayed, then he sacrificed himself for us. So daughter, there is a coming alongside that he will come close to you. And I just really want to encourage you to name what has happened in a safe space to process through every part of that hurt and pain.
And you know, one of the ways you know that you're on the healing path is that you'll change where you said that he's ruined your life and the lives of your kids, that he doesn't have the power to do that. Even the enemy doesn't have the power to do that unless we give him the power. I get feeling that way because of what you've endured. But, you know, think of that song, "The Enemy Thought He Had Me, But Jesus Said, You Are Mine," where you can get to a point where you can declare, "The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, no, you are mine." And you follow him, as Pamela said, to a place of counseling and healing, where you can say, at one point, I would have said he ruined our lives, but he ruined a few chapters. But I've took the power back and I gave it to the Lord, and God is in the process of redeeming my story. And Pamela, we just have a minute left, but that piece of us cooperating with God for our healing is critical, isn't it?
It is critical, because the enemy wants that to be the title of your story. And so, Susie, yes. I so appreciate that you said this was just a couple chapters. This is not the title of your story. That is still being written. And your redeemer is coming into those places to say, yes, those things very real did happen. But you can, again, become a wounded healer and provide healing for yourself, for your kids, for others, as you walk out of this more resilient and stronger. So what the enemy meant for evil, even in this very real, hard, painful place, surrendered to the Lord, walking through the process, he can use it for good, writing new chapters and a title to your story that says, beloved, redeemed, beautiful, chosen, and destined.
Amen. We're going to take a break here, just a very short one. And we've got notes that we'll get to, but you're our priority today, friend. And I've got a number of more texts have come in. If you want to share, every text is anonymous today. What's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? And again, no names, just situations. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We have a really important show today. If you've been listening, you know all month we've been focusing on the theme of forgiveness, and this week especially really pressing in. My friend, counselor, and spiritual director Pamela Nelson joins me today, and we're talking about taking the next steps, your next steps in the forgiveness process. And I've asked you to be as raw and honest as you're able. Every text that comes in is anonymous today. I'm just considering anonymous, okay? And my two questions for you, one is, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? And two, who do you need to forgive? Maybe it's yourself. You don't have to give names, but just the person's role in your life. What's the hardest thing? And maybe you've already forgiven that. And who do you need to forgive right now? Because every step, as I often say when Dr. Troy is on, every step towards healing matters. And this dear listener texted in and said, to the woman who's having a hard time forgiving herself for an abortion, she says she's been there. She says, took too many years, but God helped me see that David had Uriah, an innocent man, killed. And yet God didn't reject David, but brought him to repentance and forgave him. God never stopped calling David a man after God's own heart. A Bible story God used to help me see God's great forgiveness even after an abortion. That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing. All right, I've got another one for you here, Pamela, that I'd love for you to minister to, because I know you counsel both men and women. And this gentleman says, Suzy, my ex-wife mentally and physically abused me. I can easily forgive her for the physical abuse. That's stopped. The mental abuse is limited, and now, for the most part. But the hardest thing is that she, now ex-wife, has weaponized my kids against me, not only hurting me, but my kids. I haven't seen or talked to my kids in years. That is so excruciating, and it so often happens. It breaks the heart of God. Pamela, what would you say?
Oh, it does break the heart of God, and I am so, so sorry. And that abuse can come from men or women. People experience it in so many different ways, and I am so sorry that this fracture in this relationship has been cut off. But I do want to speak to you again, as we have said before, that this is not the end of the story. That through prayer and through humility and through recognizing, dear Son of God, that you can stand up in kindness, but also in strength to know who you are as a Son of God. You do not need to have your head bent low in shame. Even if you didn't do things perfectly, He is calling you to stand up in the strength that He has given you and to pray and say, I want to have the mind of Christ. What is the prayer strategy in this place that you are inviting me to walk forward in strength and in kindness, and to then see with these long chapters to say, how then, Lord, are you going to open the door where you will expose the lies that my wife is sharing about me? You will expose that there is an incongruity there, and you will again draw my children unto me. And through prayer, through that strategy, through saying, I have the mind of Christ, He will show me what to do here. I want to invite you to not do this alone. Again, find a group of men that will support you, Son of God, and walk with you along this process, praying and interceding and fasting for you on the behalf of this incredibly difficult journey that you are on. But I want to say all is not lost, because God is a redeemer, and he can even resurrect dead relationships that feel that they are cut off forever. He is the bridge, and I pray that He will show you the way to begin to walk across that, and that they will walk across to you.
Amen. And did you hear what she said there, friend, about even what you're declaring over your soul, over your life, that I have the mind of Christ. My God is activated on my behalf. He hears me when I cry. When you take your step into the bigger story as an heir of God and pray almost from above your circumstances rather than beneath your circumstances, you will feel faith rise up. I know for me, when I'm in a funky place and I'm feeling under my circumstances and I pray kind of begging, pleading prayers, I know God still loves me, still receives me, but I rarely feel better afterward. But even in those places when I have the presence of mind to go, wait a minute here, He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I can come boldly into the inner throne room of Almighty God and know that He's glad to see me, and I can pour out my heart to Him, and He moves when I pray. We really are the most blessed of all creatures. And as you remember who you are and don't let this circumstance impact your identity, pray from that place. And I'm telling you what, things will start to change. Okay, Pamela, we've got a number of texts that came in that I'm just going to read several in a row and see if you have anything you want to say. This dear one is unfathomable. Had to forgive the murders of both of my brothers in the abuse suffered from domestic violence. I stayed too long. So it makes me wonder if her abuser is the one who murdered her brothers. That's unfathomable. This one, my mom's husband, who sexually assaulted my daughter 13 years ago, forgiving my mom as well, who's still with him. I gave the gift of forgiveness to myself for freedom from anger. That's just, oh, this one, pornography, my husband. Let's see here, one more. A few more. I need to forgive myself because I blame myself for my continued health struggles that are not my fault. I do all the right things, take care of myself, yet I keep getting thrown into the fire of affliction. I'm always asking God what I'm doing wrong, even though I know in my heart I'm doing everything right. I'm so hard on myself because I want to be healed. Oh my gosh, I could text that in. I mean, I could say those same words. And so, friend, I feel for you. Oh my goodness, I feel for you. I'm going to read a few more in a moment, but anything you want to say to these so far?
Yes. Again, so many are saying I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. And what I really want to whisper to you is in truly knowing the heart of God and the length that God went to restore relationship with us so that we could be forgiven. Do not dismiss this incredible gift by not receiving this grace that God wants to lavish on you. God's riches at Christ's expense. Your forgiveness has already been paid for. You just need to walk in it. When scripture says this is the way, walk in it. It is walking in the identity and the security and the grace that you can receive. And so all of these stories that are saying I'm having a hard time forgiving myself, I do understand that. One practical thing in again, agreeing with this forgiveness, sometimes what is a practical step to do is to go back and to write a letter to your younger self, giving yourself what you needed at that time that you did not receive. Oftentimes not being known, not being protected, not being seen, not being provided for. And in doing that, you start to process through the memories that you need to process through. And again, it's in naming those things that they can be released. And so if that is something that you want to journey in, again, I often recommend not doing this on your own, but with a trusted soul friend or spiritual director or counselor to be able to allow you to speak those things that you can hardly name, and then allow the Lord to come in, even as you now, as a daughter of the King of Kings, being able to speak over your younger self, healing to that former chapter so that you can heal in this chapter of your life.
Wow. Here's a few more. Abandoned by husband. Hardest part is that he abandoned our then nine-year-old son. At almost 50, my son still carries this. That's the stuff. That's so painful. Forgiving others has always been very easy for me because I know God requires it of me. Forgiving myself seems almost impossible. I feel like I have to let God down because I feel like I'm lost in life's direction and my purpose. Extremely defeating. What would be some next steps for this person? I want to read it one more time. Forgiving others has been easy because I know God requires it. Forgiving myself seems impossible. I feel like I've let God down because I feel like I'm lost in life's direction and purpose. Extremely defeating. You can see where if you're in a perpetual mindset of that you're missing your purpose, it's sort of this perpetual self-fulfilling prophecy. What exercises, advice would you give to this dear one?
Yes. And so in that circle, you really have to, I'm going to say halt, because you need to come into agreement with the truth of God's word rather than what your memories and what the accuser of the brethren is saying over you. You are believing a lie that what you have done is beyond the realm of the scope of God's forgiveness. And I also want to say that this is not a light and easy one-time work when it's something that's so ingrained in our brain. It's almost a neural pathway that leads to death and it goes there immediately. Is we need to take those thoughts captive and bind them and start to make new pathways forward on believing that, no, I have been forgiven. That is underneath my feet. This is who I am now. Yes, I made a poor choice, but that does not mean that I am a mistake. I am a son and a daughter of the living God, and you need to start believing into that so that you can walk and grow into health. Within all of this, we are going to claim scripture because it is the living word of God. But I also want to say to those who have been given a Bible verse as a band-aid from people who are not trusted to sit with you and hear your story. Please forgive us in the church where we do that, where we just throw a Bible verse at someone. These are deep, deep, deep hurts, and no one has earned the right to hear the story of your trauma if they're simply going to throw a band-aid of a Bible verse over this. If the Lord doesn't do Romans 8:28, where he turns things together for good, works all of them to good, to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes, then what is the point? I don't want anyone throwing that verse to me as a Bible bypass or as a band-aid. That is something that we cling to, that he will work it all together for good. But I need to sit with that. In the Old Testament, when people were grieving and had an incredible pain, they would sit Shiva. They would sit in that presence of the Lord to be able to allow the working, the needing of the healing into their life, of those new neural pathways to be formed, to grieve in time, not just to bypass it. And so, sons and daughters, be with people who will sit with you, who will give you the living word of God that will set you free.
Amen. And to that friend who feels like you're constantly disappointing God because you're not living out your purpose, you can see where if you're comparing yourself to others who seem to be on a pathway of a clear purpose, that will feel perpetually self-defeating. But there are things you can do today that you can know God's will. You can know it's God's will that you be thankful in all circumstances, because Scripture says that, not for all circumstances, but to look for opportunities to be grateful. Just look around and thank God for the things you'd miss if they were gone tomorrow. Thank him. Start to develop a truly grateful heart. Scripture also says, seek peace and pursue it. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. That's assuming you're going to love yourself. You start in some of those places, suddenly spiritual clarity will return, and you'll hear the Lord say, this is the way, walk in it. And we've made so much out of purpose, and I've studied it, I've written on it, I'm very passionate about purpose, but it's not wrapped up in a tidy bow or a title, or, you know, it's like God has total express rights to interrupt our lives and have our purpose seem not as defined, where we're living just to please him, and we love others, and we're faithful in the hidden places. That can be a profoundly amazing purpose. But it's being in a place of peace. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And that feels really important for you to hear right now. And I would just start to reject rejection. Reject rejection in the name of Jesus. Reject the accusation of the enemy that you're a perpetual disappointment to God. And if I can lovingly challenge this one narrative, is that if it's easy for you to forgive others, but you can't forgive yourself, you're holding yourself to a higher standard than other people, yet Jesus died for all of you. And your sins were not harder for Jesus than others. They're the same. You know, all of our sin needed to be nailed to the cross, and it was, praise God. So I just challenge you to get a little feisty, get a little gritty, start standing against the lies of the enemy, and start pursuing some of the things the Lord has said. He's made very clear. Maybe he's not made it clear if you're supposed to go back to school or write a book or start a ministry, but he has made it clear to seek peace and pursue it, to love him, to find reasons to be grateful, and then do the next thing he tells you to. We got to take a break. I had no idea this whole show would be dedicated to text line, but we're super grateful. I see more coming in, and we're just going to pray for as many as we can. And again, the question is, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? There's still a handful I haven't gotten to yet. What's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? And two is, who do you need to forgive right now? Don't need a name, but what's their role in your life? And where are you at in that process? We're going to help as many people as possible. More with Pamela Nelson in a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember a number of years ago when I walked through a pretty painful friendship betrayal and rejection. It's then that I learned that forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's a perpetual offering, that we're so serious about our walk with God and that we obey his way, that we continually bring the hurt before him as it comes up for us, and we entrust the whole situation to him, knowing that he can handle things much better than we can, and that perpetual offering changes us from the inside out. I remember stumbling upon Mark 11, where it talks about that you can have what you ask for, you can pray, and mountains can move, but first, you have to forgive anybody that you're holding a grudge against. It's then I realized that miracles are linked with forgiveness. you may be holding on to an offense, and I pray you'd spend some time in that passage in Mark 11, and that God would give you a vision for your life, because His purposes for you far exceed the offense that you're tempted to hold on to. Miracles are linked with forgiveness. The purposes of God over your life are so much greater than you can imagine. Spend some time with God. Ask Him for a fresh vision for your life, and then do what He says. You'll be so glad that you did. He can handle your hurt far better than you can, and He wants to use you beyond your wildest dreams. Text the word FORGIVE to 877-933-2484, and you'll start receiving short texts designed to encourage and help you on the journey to forgiveness. Jesus loves you. I hope you know it. The Bible says so, and He proved it by coming to earth, living, dying, rising again for your sins and mine. I'm Susie Larson, and this month, we've been focusing on forgiveness. This week, we're really pressing in, and today is just a healing show, digging in, asking you to text, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive, and who do you need to forgive even now? And this dear one says, thanks for this amazing program. Hardest thing to forgive, my brother who sexually abused me as a child. She says he denied it each time I tried to confront him. It was a long-held secret. When I sought secular counseling, I was told I did not have to forgive him. I wrestled with this for a long time before bowing to the Lord's will. Met with my brother over coffee in a restaurant. I told him I forgave him and I loved him. We parted company, never to see one another again. 28 days later, he was killed in a horrific truck accident, burned to death. Grieving came from a place of God's love and grace, not the enemy's lie that I had the right to live in unforgiveness. Whenever tempted to unforgiveness, I think back to that last meeting with my brother and bow to God's will. For unforgiveness was the poison I was drinking. Wow. Do you want to say anything?
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that journey. That forgiveness is that gift that you gave to allow your heart to heal. And that bravery to be able to choose that, even when a counselor said, no, you don't have to forgive them. That truly is drinking that poison and that bitterness that clouds absolutely every decision that you make. That's the filter and the perception through which you see relationships, through which you see the world. Bitterness and unforgiveness truly has you living with an open door. It is like you have the house door of your house open where you would protect it on in every other level. But unforgiveness is an open door with a neon sign in it that says, come in and cause me to try to do things to cover my pain, because that pain is masked in that unforgiveness, and the pain will perpetuate itself and you will hurt others and you will hurt yourself. But that decision and that process that you actually were able to sit across the table and say to him, I forgive you. And to know that release, even from what was coming 28 days later, oh, what a gift of receiving that power of forgiveness that God gave you. I'm so grateful to hear that story. And I pray that that encourages others to be able to take those brave steps, whether or not it would ever be safe to sit across the table from the one who sexually abused you. That's a rare case, and oftentimes is not done alone, but sometimes in a counseling office or with other loved ones who are there with you. But in that case, the Lord gave you this incredible gift. And I just want to say, praise God. He's so faithful.
So good. This dear one, hardest thing they have had to forgive, and the person they need to forgive is themselves for having an affair. Again, I want to just wrap my arms around you. I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but, you know, I just have heard so many stories of people who've been stuck in constant condemnation, like they can't get up from underneath it. But this isn't the one unpardonable sin. It's a painful one, but Jesus died for it, and you can live again. You can have a hope and a future again. Anything, Pamela, you want to say?
Yes, exactly what you said. This is not the unpardonable sin. And yes, it is affecting you, and it will affect your family, but this does not define who you are. What defines who you are is the coming out on the other side of this and choosing to believe who God says that you are and owning, yes, this is what happened. This is what I did. This is where I'm walking in repentance. This is where I get to the bottom of why I made this decision, which is so important in all of these places. Why am I not forgiving myself? Why did I make this decision to do this? Getting to the understanding of what was not in place in my life so that I made the choice that has forever affected the rest of my life. And this is then where we can choose to do things differently, make better choices, make the healthy choices. But out of this, even though there are very real consequences, I believe, and I can see it even as I'm saying this to you, is that there's going to be new growth in the garden of your soul, the soil of your heart, that will be fragrant. It will be beautiful, and it will draw people onto that redemption that's a part of your story, and you will be able to healthfully love others because you've examined, you've allowed the Lord to examine you and to, again, create that clean heart. That was the cry of David in Psalm 51:10. Let that be your cry, and let the fragrance be sweet and beautiful. Mm.
Amen. You know, I was just thinking as Pamela was talking, I often talk about the low door of humility, and forgiveness requires humility because pride, you know, at times and fear and self-preservation and all kinds of other things rise up because we feel like by forgiving, we're saying it, what they did didn't matter. Or we feel like if I let go of it, God's going to let go of it too. That nothing could be further from the truth. But when you bow low and go through that low door of humility, going, I'm going to forgive because Christ has forgiven me and entrust the story to him. I'm telling you what, it leads you to a spacious place that you can get to no other way. This dear one says, feel like I'm walking through forgiveness of my ex-husband. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking in freedom, but lately I'm struggling with anger, weariness with him. I haven't seen an end to this battle, and I'm not sure how to fight it some days, but this is so life-giving today. Thank you for your wisdom, prayers, and love. And what I feel like, the reason I feel like that's important, because one of the things we were going to address today, I love that we went with the text line, but one of the things we're going to talk about is a sustainable freedom, that it's not a once-and-done proposition. And, you know, just a reminder that we're living behind enemy lines. There is a day when the opposition will cease, the tears will be wiped away, and we will live in the fullness of our purpose. We will have fellowship with even difficult family members who are saved. We will enjoy fellowship with them. I mean, there's so much ahead for us, but right now it's hard. And I would love for you to talk about a sustainable freedom and what you want to say to this dear one.
Yeah, that freedom really comes again in speaking the word over your soul. Ephesians 4:31-32 kindly says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, that does not mean that there are not natural consequences. Again, this hurt, this comes into these places. But it, again, I can tell what is in my mind and my heart and my soul based on how I am speaking about the situation. If it is something that is in the past, which again, God has used to bring a redemptive story in my life and the story of others, then it's an indication that the enemy does not have a stronghold there. But if, again, I'm recognizing that something is bitter in what I'm saying, that I am not walking in that abiding freedom that John 15:5 talks about, that I have been invited to forgive again, but maybe I've chosen not to forgive for that specific impact, I need to go back. I need to be kind and compassionate to myself, because if I'm living in unforgiveness, then I am not receiving that intimate forgiveness that I need in my life. And so I want to invite you in that place. If there's something that is rising up, just go back and say, okay, Lord, once again, I choose to release this thing to you. I don't want to live in bitterness, that poison, that anger, that rage. Allow me to clothe myself, as it says in Colossians 3, with kindness, gentleness, patience, and then to forgive as I have been forgiven.
So good. You know, I opened the show with an R.T. Kendall quote. We talked about his book on the show before, Total Forgiveness, one of the best books I've ever read on forgiveness. And I want to just cast a vision for you as we're getting ready to wrap today, because these are serious offenses that you've shared. And I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story with us and letting us walk with you and maybe leading you to some still waters, to the healing balm, so that the Lord Jesus himself can minister to those places. And now I want to cast a bigger vision that on the other side of this, as Pamela is saying, there's life, there's redemption, there's hope, there's little sprouts that are going to spring up from the earth. There's even calling and purpose. This is what R.T. Kendall wrote. When Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, he was not talking about how to achieve salvation. He was referring to receiving the anointing of God and participating in an intimate relationship with the Father. Unless we are in a state of forgiveness towards others, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. We just got about a minute and a half left, and I'm wondering if there's anything else you want to add, just as far as casting a vision of what's on the other side of forgiveness.
On the other side of that is perfect unity with your Creator. It is living in the peace of Christ that it says again in Colossians 3 that can rule in our hearts and our minds. And so on the other side of this intimacy is to be able to have that quickness that you can see where something is trying to rob you of your peace. And then you're quickened to say, Lord, is it within me? Is someone else affecting me? Do I need to, again, walk in that forgiving, keeping short accounts? Because that word rule, let the peace of Christ rule. And I've shared this on this show before, but that word rule is the word umpire. What needs to be umpiring your heart and your mind right now? And if something is robbing you of your peace or that abiding connection that you have with your Creator, staying in close, intimate fellowship with him, then let him identify it. Let him get to the root. Let him uproot it so that you can thrive and grow and be a son and daughter of the kingdom, being that peace giver that then allows people to ask you, what is different about you? This happened, but your life, you're living loved and redeemed. And then you will be that person that is offering the other people the same healing that you have received in Christ.
Pamela, thank you for this today. And friends, thank you so much for joining us today. I think some of you maybe feel the prompting to see a spiritual director or counselor. Do it. I highly recommend it. All of us need it at different seasons of our life. We love you. We're with you on this journey. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.